What is going on, Wilfred Laurier? We are back again, me and Rajni, for another year of News at Noon, the best news podcast / news show in the whole world. Welcome. Welcome back.
Welcome back, guys. We hope you enjoyed your summer. So today, to start off our news, we're going to be discussing what everyone has been kind of talking about, buzzing about the past few weeks or so, which is the vaccine passport. So as you probably knew already, we've had to have our vaccine passport to come onto campus, and we've also had the provincially mandated one that just came into effect on September 22nd, I believe. So for me personally, this wasn't really a problem because I already got both of my doses in the summer and everything. And the way that I see it is that this is just something that can let us go a little bit more back to normal while also staying more safe than if we didn't have it. So, like, honestly, I'm not too pressed about it, but I know lots of people were. So what do you think about it, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I'm gonna take the role of the anti-passport person. Honestly, I'm fully vaccinated. I don't really care. Like, for things like school, it's fine. Yeah. Because it's just, you know, it's easy. You have, like, the app or whatever. See, where I get a little, where I kind of have a little bit of problem is this sort of, like, you can't go to restaurants, you can't go to bars, this and that. And see, my problem here, and again, I'm fully vaccinated. Like, I can go to restaurants. But I have a lot of friends who aren't. And honestly, fair enough to them, like, I get why you would be mad at someone not wanting to get vaccinated. Me personally, I see why someone wouldn't want to get, like, why, like, there's no reason to necessarily trust public health and the government all the time, you know what I mean? I trusted them, but I understand the angle as to why someone might not, and then the fact that they're kind of being excluded from essentially half of our whole entire society is just kind of doing a bit of division, kind of like the Trump Republican Democrat division that you created.
You're kind of saying that it's like it's pushing people further away from getting vaccinated because they're like excluding that group instead of trying to bring them in. Okay.
Exactly. It's like literally probably the worst thing anyone could have done, because realistically, I'm not gonna lie, the numbers have been very low, and I do recommend that everyone get a vaccine, because obviously, you know, like, what's worse, dying from COVID or dying from potential side effects that aren't proven yet?
Yeah, because the thing is, I would say it's actually the opposite, because at least I had a friend who hadn't gotten vaccinated, but once she heard that they were going to start doing that, like, she went and got it. So, I mean, I'm sure that's the case for lots of other people who have been, like, they maybe were hesitant to get it at first, but now that they kind of have to, it's, like, forcing more people to get vaccinated, which is, like, I think that the people who are, like, violently anti-vax are not going to get vaxxed regardless, and this is just something that can fuel them, which I do agree is, like, a problem. But for the vast majority of people who are, like, vaccine hesitant, I feel like they probably just didn't see enough of a need for it, especially because they'd probably be younger and, like, healthy. So they'd be like, oh, I'm not really at risk of dying from COVID anyways, so no point until it's, like, absolutely necessary. But, like, honestly, I went out this weekend and it wasn't that hard. Like, they just asked you for your screenshot of your second dose receipt, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Okay. See, that seems, it's fair. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to, like, make a huge deal about it. But I'm also, I just think it's a little too, they're just doing a little too much, a little too fast.
I kind of see what you mean because of the, like, the division part, because I do feel like this is something that can push people who are, like, violently anti-vax, like, it can push them even further to that side. I definitely see that happening for sure.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's probably a net positive for society, but, you know, because realistically, the hardline anti-vaxxers, pardon me, are mostly essentially extremists. Not, like, fully. The ones who are, like, at the protests and are, like that Chris guy. Everyone
oh, my God.
Guy. He's the leader of the anti-vax vax, anti-mask movement.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of this crazy character who's always just, he's just crazy. And his kind of subset of, like, supporters are, generally speaking, definitely, I wouldn't say, like, extremists, but they're pretty far right, or however you want to say. I wouldn't say right, but pretty far into their beliefs and their ideology.
Yeah.
And for them, I mean, who knows what this is going to do in the future, but I just like to assume that they're a small enough percentage of people that it won't affect everyone.
Yeah.
And that's just my stance, I guess, at this point.
Because I feel like there will always be those crazy people who are, like, outliers, but we kind of just have to ignore them, because I feel like the media giving them attention is just making it worse, because that gives them a platform to share their opinions and, like, reach to different people, and it's not... Like, that's not a constructive opinion, like, for them to be sharing. And so I feel like we should just not pay them any attention, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. Honestly.
If you ignore them, they won't be that big of a deal.
I mean, realistically, we just got to look. I'm looking at the numbers for today. We have 466 new COVID cases in Ontario, 11 deaths. So
we're doing pretty good.
That's remarkable, considering like the numbers were shooting up about a month ago, and now
they're kind
of slowly creeping downward. So obviously, this, you know, everything is actually working to an extent. People can't be like, "Oh, there's nothing," you know. There's still COVID.
Exactly.
I feel like Canada, most likely one of the top like five countries in the whole world.
Yeah.
Up there with, like, I feel like we might be the most vaccinated, maybe the most vaccinated country. I'm going to double check that.
No, I think it's Portugal, actually. I was reading an article about it this morning, and they said Portugal has, like, 85% of people fully vaxxed, and they credited it to, like, the population being, like, very accepting and very willing to work together to, like, minimize the pandemic, so.
That is encouraging, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, most of Europe, like Germany, France, Portugal, like the EU countries, have all had like above 80% vaccine uptake, and they're starting to relax their restrictions. Like most of their restrictions are relaxed right now.
And I feel Canada's at, what, like 70% right now, I think?
Yeah, 70% fully vaxxed, and like 85% with one dose at least.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's encouraging. So
yeah,
let's just leave it at that. You know, everybody get your vaccine.
Yeah,
the government is not. We don't live in a communist state.
Exactly.
We're not going to live in a communist state. I get why you might think this is a bit authoritarian for a country like Canada, but look at the rest of the world. Look at what's going on in America, and that should just be like, oh, do we really want to be America? Does anyone want to be America?
And it's also, like, the concept of a vaccine passport isn't anything brand new and, like, scary. Because if you think about it, you have to have your vaccines to go to elementary school. If you're going to, like, daycare or something, you have to have your, like, baby vaccines, you know? So it's not, like, this something brand new, like, the government's just trying to oppress us. Like, it's just a normal thing. Like, most countries have the requirement that you be vaccinated to access things like public education and so on. So,
yeah, no. Realistically, after this convo, I might have changed my stance a little bit. So I like to think I just like to see all sides of the situation.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you can never solve a situation by being like, I'm right, you're wrong.
Exactly. Never,
you know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of what the government's doing. But anyways, Let's change topics, just because everyone's knows all about these vaccine headaches and whatnot. I have a few interesting articles. There's just so much that has happened since our last show.
Yeah,
I don't even know like where to start. I'm thinking might as well start with Afghanistan, because I feel like that's probably one of the more interesting international news stories, just in general, not even like specific. Not even specific stories. Like, if you go on any major news outlet, at least for me in the last 3-4 weeks, there's always been something about the Taliban, the U.S. Army, women being treated. I saw it yesterday, which was kind of disturbing. that the lead, like one of the heads of the Taliban, like government,
yeah,
has announced they're gonna return to execution and amputation, like
wow,
cutting off hands and whatnot for as according to Sharia law, which is obviously a really just inaccurate representation or just kind of like a dumb kind of way of interpreting the Quran and whatnot. So
yeah,
to the Taliban for cutting people's arms off for stealing.
So what's up? The punishment for stealing is having your arm cut off.
Your hand, I think, wow. It's at your wrist. Yeah, yeah. Which is, I mean, we'll see how that kind of plays out. I'm just reading an article, or there's a headline, Reuters right now, that the Afghan army collapse took us all by surprise, says the U.S. Defense Secretary. See.
Wow.
I just don't believe that at all. Because
honestly.
Go ahead.
I feel like we just can't trust the US Army at this point, because they're the whole reason that the Taliban could flourish like this.
Literally.
If you think about it. Because if you're discriminating against Muslims and Middle Eastern people, that just creates like a breeding ground for extremist factions to come up, and they're like pointing the finger back at you and saying like, oh, Americans hate us, so we should like destroy them, you know? It's just creating the right atmosphere all of that happen.
I don't know, like I feel like a lot of people in the West and Canada and the States who are kind of like just casually pay attention to conflicts like in the Middle East with Canada, US and Afghanistan, I don't think people fully understand the level of destruction and death that Canada, America, Britain, France, mostly America, obviously, but all the allies have sort of imposed upon the people of Afghanistan, yeah, the people of Iraq, the people of Syria, the people of Yemen. Like, essentially the whole core of the Middle East has been just demolished over the last 20, 30 years by Western influence. And it's not like small things. Like, I saw a headline maybe a week ago that the American, like one of the American generals admitted to a drone strike, I think it was in Afghanistan, that killed 10 civilians,
wow,
like, maybe a couple weeks ago. And that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think a lot of people know this, wow, maybe not, but during the Obama administration, like, people generally like to be like, oh, Obama was a great president.
Yeah, but I mean, he was still involved in it.
Not only was he involved in it, when he took office, the level of drone strikes and just overall troops and activity in Afghanistan skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, under the Obama administration was the highest level of sort of American activity in Afghanistan, the highest number of civilian casualties. I'm pretty sure the highest number of American casualties. Like, he was essentially trying to just bring an end to the war quickly and sort of be that strong man.
I guess
obviously
it didn't work out.
It didn't work out at all. If anything, it made it 10 times worse, as we see as the Taliban. Like, they took over the country in, I believe it was under a month or 2 months.
A something week? Like that. It was literally like a week in the summer.
Essentially, yeah. Like, that just speaks to sort of the disarray that America kind of left the Afghan army in. Everyone's like, oh, like the Afghan army should have stood up. They should have done this, done that.
What are they really going to do when they're under, like, they don't have enough resources to deal with something like the Taliban?
No, literally. And I don't think a lot of people understand there's no ethnic majority in Afghanistan. It's just a bunch of, minorities. So there's not really, a cultural kind of beacon like there is in China or America or Canada that kind of brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot harder for people to unify under the previous president, Ashraf Ghani, because, you know, he might not be from their ethnic group. He might not even speak language. You know what I mean? It's hard to, like, bring together a country that's been just torn apart
over the
last 30 years by foreign influence. And, it's such a complicated situation. And it's just so sad, especially for the women of Afghanistan.
Honestly. Those videos that came out with the people hanging from the planes, that was horrible. They know that they're gonna die, like 100% chance that you're gonna die, but like you would rather die by doing something to try and save yourself rather than just sit there and wait for someone to kill you, you know? Like,
No,
can you
yeah.
imagine the desperation that you have to be in to do something like that?
Yeah, no, like I saw there was like an Afghan females, like I think it was a girl soccer team. I'm just gonna double check this right now. Who was flown to like Portugal or something. They sought refuge in like Afghan national soccer team banned under the Taliban, so they're granted asylum with their families by Portugal. So the whole team was flown out to Portugal, granted asylum.
Wow.
Obviously, they can continue whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they had to go all the way to Portugal just to get away from this kind of regime, it wouldn't even let girls play soccer. Like,
that's crazy.
Mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Like, what? How does that affect anybody if girls are
exactly
playing?
Like, are they hurting you by playing soccer? Is that such a problem?
You know what I mean?
Honestly.
Like, if anything, it's a positive, you know what I mean? Like, they can start,
yeah,
we can soccer team, next thing you know, like national revenue, the women's soccer team,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, we're in 2021, guys. Like, it's just mind blowing, you know what I mean? And it's like, obviously, the whole world is basically in support of the women, like anti-Taliban, but no one's gonna go back and invade the country. So
exactly,
the future of the country is, who knows how that's going to end up in the next 10 years, 5 years. Hopefully Afghan people can rise together and overthrow the Taliban, but that's so much to ask for a civil war, you know what I mean?
I know, and they've already been so battered by like U.S. occupation and everything. It's like asking too much to ask them to do that.
But I thought I'd just mention that just because that was such a prominent sort of situation over the summer and over the last month. I feel like viewers need to listen. Our listeners need just a little Afghanistan knowledge if they don't already have it. I'm sure you already have it, but I just thought I'd mention it.
I also find it very aggravating when the countries that like are responsible for all of these unrests and genocide and all of this are like reluctant to take refugees from that place. You're literally the cause of this,
literally.
And it's like the least you could do is try to help, you know? Like, it's not like you don't have the resources to help.
The bureaucracy in countries like Canada and America, just in terms of immigration and even just like travel,
yeah,
unbelievable. Like, it's unbelievably complicated, especially post 9/11. For like just the most banal reasons, you know what I mean? Just the most useless, stupid reasons. They're just making such a journey just to, you know. And it's like, at the end of the day, anyone coming to your country, for the most part, like 98% of the time, is gonna be benefiting your country, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, people don't decide to just leave their countries and abandon everything and come with nothing to just sit down and waste time and collect benefits. Like, most people can't, like, if you're an immigrant, you can't collect most of the benefits. The only thing that, like, at least as an international student, the only benefit that I think I could collect would be, like, CERB and CRB, you know? So it's, like, the stereotype that immigrants just come to collect benefits and, like, freeload off of our taxpayers and whatever, that's so false.
Yeah.
You know, it honestly really makes me upset because, like, I'm sure if you looked at the statistics, the people who would be freeloading off of the benefits are mostly Canadians.
Literally. No, exactly. Like, you can't just come to a new country. Like, I have plenty of friends whose parents came to this country as asylum seekers or refugees. And you know what I mean? They're literal.
They're hardworking people.
Hardworking people contributing to the economy, contributing to the cultural diversity of the country. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
and it's also like most of the immigrant parents or like immigrants who I know, they don't have the mindset of like taking things for free and like scamming and like freeloading and stuff. It's like, they have a work ethic. Like, you need a work ethic to be an immigrant. It's just, it's not something that you can just, you can't really just like come and expect to have everything fall in your lap as an immigrant. Like, I feel like when you decide to migrate to a different country, you accept and you understand all of these risks that come along with it. And you make up your mind that, yes, I'm going to work my ass off to, like, make it, you know?
Like, no.
The mindset is definitely there.
I mean, even even people who are participating in illegal activity, like on street, like on just the sort of like the street level, like, you know, selling drugs or scamming. Like, I don't think people realize how like small of a percentage of people it is. It doesn't really affect like anybody. Like, for, let me give you an example. Like, if me or you were to have our credit card frauded by anybody, you know what I mean, and they were to steal our number and start making purchases, all we have to do is call our credit card company
and tell them what happened,
and they're gonna refund it. And they're multi-billion dollar corporations, you know what I mean? That's like a drop in the bucket for them. We're getting our money back. And whoever is doing the scam, you know what I mean? They're the one at risk. They're the one doing all the risk in this situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even people selling like drugs like crack and whatever, meth, this and that. Like, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? It's not going to be affecting me. It's not going to be affecting you. It's going to be affecting a small percentage of people who are already addicted to substances.
And also the thing is, no one just decides to sell drugs for fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, the decision that you make to enter into some illegal activity like selling drugs is out of desperation and lack of opportunities.
Literally.
And that's not your fault. Like, it's not your fault that you're born poor or, like, you grew up in an underserved area where you can't have access to, like, education and, like, positive influences of what kind of jobs you can do to get money.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what you see and that's what you reflect. So it's not, it's literally, it's not even the people who are engaging in it. They're not as much at fault as the thing, like, institutions, like the government are for not providing opportunities for people.
Literally,
you know,
like, someone told me this sort of analogy, I guess it's an analogy or a quote, I don't know what you call it, but it spoke to me, and it's essentially, he's basically saying, like, the police want you to do illegal activity because that's how they get paid. You know what I mean? Immigration wants someone to try and come without proper documentation because that's how they get paid. Even like, you know, even a doctor, less so here because our healthcare is free, but in the States, the doctors want you to get sick because that's how they get their bills. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
In a perfect society, these institutions wouldn't really exist to the same extent. You know what I mean?
Someone was saying that the reason why the U.S. has such a problem with, like, obesity and lifestyle diseases like diabetes, heart disease, and so on, is because it's profitable for people to be chronically ill because you have to pay for your health care. So there's no incentive. There's no incentive to, like, say, for example, put a tax on, like, sodas or a tax on fast food because that's how the healthcare system functions, which is really messed up.
No, I literally couldn't agree more, like. And you know what I mean? Who do you think has like shareholders or like their inner circle in some of the major health institutions?
Exactly.
McDonald's definitely does. You know what I mean? Popeye, like all these, you know, like the owner corporations of these companies, they have a say in the healthcare system. Exactly. Like, I'm not saying this like as a fact because I'd have to do a little more research, but just I can guarantee you if I looked it up, I could find some instance of that.
If you follow the money, there's, like, no incentive for people to actually be healthy.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, no. It's just...
because the people in government are probably getting some kind of compensation or sponsorship from the same companies who are, like, causing the detriment of their people's health. And it's the same thing with the education system, too, because if you make tertiary education prohibitively expensive, you are not going to have a population that can think critically. And if you... people always make a joke about, like, how the U.S. education system for, like, elementary and high school is, like, actual garbage. So it's, like, if you have a dumb population, they're just going to keep voting in the same people who do the same thing. And it's never going to change. And no one's ever going to be, like, educated enough to call out the foolishness that they're seeing the government do. And then if it's only a small minority of people who are educated, everyone else can be like, oh, well, they're the elites. Like, it's always in their interest anyway. So why should we listen to them? Because they act like they're so much better than us. They don't reflect us.
Yeah. And then you have the American government spending literally trillions of dollars on weapons that they're not even using for themselves. They're literally like that they're arming foreign groups for their own agenda. Like, you know, the government of Yemen and the coalition of the Saudis. You know, they're spending all this money on violence, death, destruction. When their country is filled with violence, death, and destruction, you know what I mean? Like,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Literally.
Rajni, we need to be politicians. I think we're gonna go from Radio Laurier to the prime. You're gonna be, is it
The
Prime Minister of
politics.
Jamaica? Is there a Prime Minister or President?
Yeah, we have a prime minister, but no, I think I would not be interested in doing that. Hell no. That is a whole other kind of woman.
That's a discussion for another day, but I guess we might as well bring up one last story for the show.
Sure.
Do you have anything in mind? I have a few things, but I feel like you might have something more interesting.
You can go ahead, because I've pretty much said my piece.
Yeah, so I guess I just saw this on CP24. Shout out to CP24. So the Canadian housing market moves from moderate to high degree of vulnerability.
Oh God, I saw that too.
Yeah, so the CH, sorry, CMHC is the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, and they're basically saying that the housing sector moved from moderate to high degree of vulnerability during the second quarter of this year, with Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal among the markets shouldering the most risk. I don't understand real
Yeah.
estate at all. Like, I literally have no, if any of our listeners understands real estate, please come on our show and explain to everybody. Or if you understand it, please explain it to me, because I just don't understand how
Basically, what's happening in Canada right now is that there's more demand for housing than there is supply, especially in like big cities like Toronto and Montreal. Toronto in particular is like one of the worst, because I just read today that the average cost, like the cost of like a single family home, not an apartment, is like over $1 million.
Oh yeah. Like my
Yeah.
parents, we like just as a quick example of how bad it is in Toronto, my parents, they bought my family home in Toronto, and like when I was born in 2000, or like
Yeah.
maybe it was 150K or 200K, like something very reasonable. And even with
Yeah.
inflation nowadays, that's like what, like 500K maybe max.
Yeah, which is reasonable.
And keep in mind, this was not like a night like a amazing house. It was like a split, not a townhouse, but like you know those houses that are just like split.
Yeah.
It was like a split house. It had like 3 floors. It wasn't anything special. It was in a nice location, don't get me wrong, like right in downtown, but it wasn't glamorous. It was had a lot of problems with the house. They flipped the house. Maybe this was in 2018, so imagine how it would be now. They flipped the house for $1.2 million.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it was
It's like
not
to a
worth it.
point
It was
where
not.
the average person can't even afford a house right now. Like back in our parents' day, I'm sure if they were full-time working adults and they saved up enough money, like it's easy, it would have been quite like manageable for them to afford a house on like a full-time salary. But like nowadays, like the average person can't even afford a house unless they have like their family to help them or something.
Yeah, it's honestly ridiculous. Even rent for like apartments.
Yeah, for an apartment, it's crazy. And I think the problem that I've seen has been cited as like the contributing cause to this issue is the fact that like lots of people have like real estate that they're not living in. They're just like landlords of the place and they rent it out. And so that I can't remember if it was because the rents are so high, the places are empty, or if it's that the rents are so high, so it like drives up the price of everything else in the area. Which is
Yeah.
kind of like gentrifying because people are like desperate to pay anything for like a place in Toronto, and it's like because everyone wants to live in Toronto, you know?
I don't know. This world we live in, Rajni. This world,
It is
man.
messed up.
It's just.
I'm not looking forward to like buying a house at all because I'm like, can I even afford it? Probably not.
Yeah, like there's no way I'm living in Canada when I'm like 30. There's just no way. I'm moving to like, who knows? Who knows where I'm moving, everybody? But you're gonna catch me on Radio Mexico in 10 years. You're gonna catch me on Radio Mexico City, and I'm gonna have a nice house, and I'm not gonna pay $1 million for it, and I'm gonna be laughing at you. Except for on like if the cartel situation gets
Honestly.
bad. But anyway, let's not go to that. Let's not go over there. But I think we're coming to time, Rajni. It's
Yeah,
about
we should
time.
wrap up.
This was a great first. I missed this, honestly. I miss this.
Yeah, honestly, same. I think I was stressing out about it for no reason, but like once we got into it, it was fine.
Yeah, it's honestly fun. I hope listeners, everybody, Wilfrid Laurier University, anybody in general, I hope y'all had a great time today listening to us ramble about issues. Next week, we'll be back same time, Wednesday at noon. Well, we're probably going to look to get some more guests on the show this year just to spice it up. But just stay tuned and have a great week. And yeah, adios, everyone.
Have a great week, guys. Thank you.